You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business automation. And in this episode, I want to take a bit of a shift of topic from the usual topics that I talk about around automating your business, fast scale, and systems, implementing automated systems, and talk about a topic that's really plaguing the nation right now. And it's been sparked by a sequence of events where justice is being sought after these inhumane acts towards the lives of people that look like me. That's Black people. So I know this is a sensitive and uncomfortable topic, but it definitely deserves my attention and perspective in at least one episode. So before we get into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure that you subscribe. We can be found in all major podcasting outlets, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on YouTube if you want to just start watching, if that's where you frequent and get your content. And while you're at it, please leave a 5-star rating and rating and review. It would be greatly appreciated. Again, if this is your first episode, this is going to be a bit of a this is going to be different from the norm. So you may want to finish listening to this in its entirety and then listen to some previous ones if you're not subscribed yet. So let me start off by saying, drawing my line in the sand, and saying that I always have, always will understand and support and promote, you know, however you want to state it, Black Lives Matter. I do support the movement, always have understood it. And if you're an avid listener to this podcast, you do too. You do too. You may not realize it because you would not be listening to it if there was not life in my body, if there was not breath to be used to speak the words from my experience, both professionally and personally. So it's so disheartening to see so many people take a simple statement and try to twist it and turn it into something that it is not. And I won't belabor what it means because we're to a point now that this movement has been around for years. And if you still disagree with it or refuse to understand its true meaning, then you've made a conscious effort to never understand it. So there is no amount of words that I can present on this podcast that will change your mindset or viewpoint. But for those of you who may be wondering, hey, I've been hearing about it. What is it really? Are they a terrorist group? Are they out to help or hurt? Black Lives Matter is a movement to help the fight towards holistic equality and justice for Black people. So a lot of times what you'll hear is All Lives Matter is not really a movement or even a statement. It is a anti-Black Lives Matter statement because it didn't exist until Black Lives Matter came. And the whole premise is, why are we just focusing on Black lives? All lives matter. And all lives do matter and will matter when Black lives matter. That has been the pretense. It is not against anybody, you know. So being for the lives of Black folks do not mean that you're against the lives of any other. So that brief synopsis was for those of you who did not know. You truly did not know and you just were wondering. That's what that is. So all I hear when I hear the statement is equality and justice for all. I hear the words of Dr. King, the efforts of Malcolm X and Medgar Evers, all of our ancestors that have been on the forefront to really fight for this equality. This is what I hear. It's a fight many of my ancestors have died for since being enslaved. And at its core, it's a fundamental principle that is surprising and very hurtful that there are so many people against it, because it just shows how many people are unwilling to confront and address the unfair treatment of African Americans in this country. And it doesn't start and end with us. It goes beyond us. There's a lot of practically any non-white minority will fall into this group. But specifically in America, African Americans have had a targeted, systematic, oppressed approach since day one. So when we say Black Lives Matter, mattering is just the minimum. Right. I mean, at its core, we're just saying, hey, our life, our existence matters. That's it. Right. And when you do realize that is the minimum, you'll realize that the country will actually be better because of it. Right. Let us not forget that history. This is in our history books. This is if you read history, you will see that there was actually legislature that stated that we were 3/5 of a man. A fraction of a human being. Now, in my whole body that no man has created, no man gave me the power to create another man. This was, in my belief, of course, God given. This is beyond man. So you didn't create me. How can you put a value on me? And furthermore, how can you pass law that states that my being is a fraction of yours? That is the fabric that we are working to undo in America. And a lot of people, what they want to do is put it in the closet of the past. Oh, that was a past. Oh, this. Oh, that. And just kind of close that door and leave that big old skeleton in that closet. And that unwillingness to confront that is what has been building up over years. And now we're starting to really see the eruption and the unrest. And it's a beautiful thing in the sense that it's not just one race. You know, you look online, it is a very diverse group. And this is what is required to get the minimum. Remember, mattering is the minimum. And so the system that a country that has this systematically embedded, this is what the country was built on, is oppressing others and building on, but using them to build. Right. It comes with the fear, and the fear is small minded thinking. And it's a fear that somehow this country will be overtaken and all white people will be thrown out or subjected to the same level of oppression that many of them have benefited from for lifetimes. Right. They simply think if we give anybody else control, they'll do to us what we've done to them. And that's simply not true. It's furthest from the truth. I have not been in any form of contact, relationship, engagement with anybody of African-American descent that does not want a pursuit of equal treatment, equal opportunity, and equal justice, not just for them, but for their children. Many of us have our children in mind when we're like, man, this world, we need to make this world a better and safer place. And again, I'm not debating whether racism is real and systematic oppression is real and police brutality is real. It's all documented. You know, people are now recording on their personal cell phones. So now that whole, oh, the media is trying to put a spin on it, that narrative is gone, right? It's all being broadcast live. And those who have a willingness to change are really, this is an awakening for them. Like, wow, wait a minute. I need to stop. Like, things are wrong. And those who are set in their ways just ignore it and they continue to. So anybody that has met me personally and knows me knows that I don't lead with the issue of color or race. I am not one of those people that bring it to the table before anybody else is just like, hey, look, I'm Black and you're white. Like, I don't lead with that. And in fact, I can't. Right. Because I have to navigate in a world that many people that looks different. for many people. So I like to approach every, and when I say looks different, the same situation, we walk away with two totally different experiences, right? Based on the color of your skin. And I like to approach every situation as a new opportunity and give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they are willing to see my color and treat me fairly. Not to say I don't see color. No, you see that I am a black man and you intentionally choose to treat me fairly. So it's not that I go looking for discrimination or racism. I don't have my discrimination glasses on and racism bifocals, you know, where I'm just, oh, there it is. Right. But the unfortunate reality is it always tends to find me. So which is the experience for many black folks in America is that we don't have to go looking for it. It will find you. We could be out walking. We could be out just taking a stroll and racism or discrimination will find you. And unfortunately, a lot of times when it finds you, you don't live to tell about it. OK, so I will say, and you know, in this podcast, I'm really going to focus it on my personal experience, things that I know to be true in the fabric of my being because I've experienced it. And I'll say one of the biggest mistakes in the past that I've made, I've had to come to a realization to, is assuming that I was not being discriminated against or that race played any factor in what I was going through. You know, and when I say this, I'm including my corporate experience and startup experience. I simply turn my radar off to navigate the space healthily, everybody. If I'm just going to be honest with you, if I went to my jobs with on top of my mind looking out for discrimination, I would not be able to show up how I have showed up. I would not be able to do the good job that I've been able to do in multiple scenarios. So there is a level of suppression. Just so you know, your black friends are suppressing a lot every day. They go into society and go to work. So when you see us show up and we're smiling and we're like, oh, man, you're amazing. This, this and that. That is after the suppression. OK, when we wake up, we have to remember before I get to that office, let me suppress these things. Let me turn my radar. I don't want to be the angry black man. I don't want to fit these stereotypes. Right. Which in itself is wrong because there are no other stereotypes that people that don't look like me have to worry about. Right. On at least on that level. So anyways, that was one of my biggest mistakes, turning off my radar, ignoring the signs and keep pushing under the premise that if you just perform, if you do your job well, you treat people fairly, people like you, you know, other people on the job like you, that your job is safe and you'll be able to grow in your career just as anybody else. And for me, that's not true. It's not true at all. And I know at some point, race becomes a factor when white people, usually white men, have the opportunity to promote you in a position of true leadership, power, and power within their company, or bring some, instead of that, they would rather bring someone that looks like them instead. And the only factor that I've seen is race. And it kind of makes sense, right? I'll speak from the last 7 years of experience in the startup space. Fast growth. You guys have heard me talk about it on the podcast. I say scale is a hell of a drug, right? You get addicted to it, and hey man, I need more scale. You know, before you know it, you've sacrificed your family and everything. You've got a trail of bodies, professional bodies, just lying on the ground in pursuit of scale. So when that happens, when you're in pursuit of scale for a company, it could be a very intense situation and stressful. And what people usually do in highly stressful situations is default to their comfort zone. And what's comfortable is people that look like them. If they haven't prior to created a diverse environment in their personal and professional space, that hiring somebody that doesn't look like them is actually comfortable. But that's not the case. So we see in these elevated situations, white men, I can only speak for white men, I haven't had the experience with white women leading companies. But white men tend to, in my experience, default to, oh, okay, I see you, you're qualified, you're good, people like you, and you're doing an amazing job, but he looks like me, I'm comfortable, and even if he can't perform like you, I'm going with comfort. That's what we see. So, and this is becoming more and more prevalent. So you cannot turn on diversity. You cannot turn on this anti-discriminatory behavior. It can't be turned on. It can only be exposed. In high pressure or high stress environments. And that's what you want to be paying attention to. So even if I wanted to on the job, I can't forget that I'm black. Okay. I recall traveling to Cancun with my wife and some friends, and we were visiting a high end store in a strip mall. And I think it was like Louis Vuitton or maybe it was Louis Vuitton? Anyways, it was a high-end store. It's quite a few of them. And after we came out of one, I looked around and I was like, something doesn't look right. But after we went into the second one, we came out and there were soldiers in full fatigues holding automatic assault rifles at every hallway exit and entrance. And I'm in Mexico. I'm not in America. So again, I'm trying to keep my radar off. And lo and behold, the more we walked, the more they just started appearing. I counted at least 15. Now it's four of us. It's four of us, two black men, two black women, at least 15 soldiers in fatigue with automatic assault rifles because of our presence in their mall. And what that taught me is that, you know what? America is training other countries how to treat us. And they're taking note. And it's unfortunate. So and what happened was when we caught the bus and we were leaving, I looked back to see, was I tripping? And when I looked back, all the soldiers had dissipated. It was like threat has been removed. So in other countries, I can't forget I'm black. Many of you, I don't know if you know, but I'm from Minneapolis. In fact, the same street that George Floyd was murdered on is the street that I spent the majority of my youth, you know, playing basketball, catching a bus, riding my bike, driving, visiting friends, whatever the case is. So when I saw that, it just impacted me so much differently because it had never been as close as it is with George Floyd. You know, you see it from a distance, it still impacts you. But when it's in your backyard, when it's the street, you see yourself as a youth on those same streets. It was just different. And in the state of Minnesota, I've been pulled over more times than most white families collectively will ever experience. The second I started driving, I mean, it was just a common thing. Nobody warned me. Nobody, you know, said, hey, look, now that you have your license, watch out for the police. Didn't get that warning. I learned it. And let me add, all of the times I was pulled over, not once was I given a ticket for wrongdoing. It was just pure harassment. So to me, I am that much more thankful that every interaction and altercation that I had as a youth resulted in me living. Okay, but I say that because every time I see something like this happen not in the news, but in recordings of cell phones, it's a very traumatic experience. And it makes it extremely hard to keep a positive outlook towards police when you're consistently treated in a way that tells you otherwise, right? I would love to be able to feel safe when I call the police. I really do. It's a desire of mine. And let me parenthetically insert, I have some amazing police friends that have done a great job. Being in relationship with them has done an amazing job with really helping me overcome the traumatic experiences of growing up. And honestly, that's what it requires for both sides, right? For some of you who are embedded in your racist ways and bigoted thoughts and just your bubbles, it's going to require you to have relationship with more than one black person to really start to understand the plight and grow a heart and true concern for us. So that's what happened with my friends who are police officers. It really helped me be fearful for them as well. So when all of this stuff is taking place online, I mean, when you see recordings online of things that are taking place, civil unrest in all of these areas, I'm concerned for people that look like me, but I'm also concerned for those officers because they have families to go home to. And the most unfortunate part is a lot of the bad apples that are out here doing the most wrong are usually not on the front lines, you know, and which is it's just crazy. And it hurts. It hurts to see the exposure that the good officers don't get in light of these terrible officers. And it also speaks to a level of accountability that these police officers really need to start holding each other accountable, speaking up more, reforming the unions in their position on police brutality and things of that nature. So all of that to say, in my car, I can't forget that I'm black. There was a time when I went to Target for my lunch break. I was working at Lockheed Martin. Now I'm in a buttoned up shirt tucked in with slacks and dress shoes. And I've got my badge, my ID badge, which shows my face, my name and my government security clearance. This badge should be more accurate than a driver's license. The only thing missing on the driver's license that the badge was missing that the driver's license had is my address. But I had a government security clearance, meaning I could look at documents the regular public could not. OK, so this is my attire walking into Target in broad daylight, 12 p.m. This is in Ohio at the time, Akron, Ohio, walking into the Target and walking into Target. And before I get into the doors, I'm approached by just regularly dressed individuals that are coming at me very aggressively. Again, radar off. I didn't do any wrong. I don't have anything to worry about until they start assaulting me. They're grabbing me and trying to push me down. And I'm like, whoa, who is this? Now, remember, they have not identified themselves as police officers or undercover police officers or anything. So I'm fighting back. I'm fighting back for people that are looking to be assaulting me for no reason until they grab my arms and they're pulling me up and they show me their badge and they're saying, hey, look, give us your ID. This, and I'm trying to show them like my ID is hanging on my neck. If you would just take some time to like pause and see, and they look at my badge and they throw my badge off, you know, and then they're going into my pockets because now they've got my arms and they take out my ID. Long story short, they realize it wasn't me. I asked them, what's this all about? They said, oh, you fit the description. How? Somebody who's robbing local stores, for one, why would they be in the same area? And two, how would I get dressed up with an ID with government stars, clearance stars? How could I just pull that off so fast? Right. So it didn't matter what the truth was. All that it mattered is there's somebody black in this neighborhood doing something wrong. Everybody's a suspect. So even visiting Target, I can't forget that I'm black. When I was 12 years old, I was threatened by an entire white family after their son physically assaulted me because I wanted to share the monkey bars at the park and he didn't want to. So he kicked me in the stomach and I was just surprised. So just like you would if somebody kicked you in the stomach at 12 years old, I'm running after him, trying to chase him, and I push him down. Before you know it, I turn around and his entire family, father, brother, bigger brother, bigger sister, everybody was bigger than me. Father, brother, sister, and him. And they're calling me nigger and they're just, hey, get out of here before the dad is threatening me. If you want to live for tomorrow, you better get out of here, you know, X, Y, Z. So as I'm leaving, the elderly grandmother on the bench, as I ride my bike past her, why don't get out of here and go back to where you came from, as if I couldn't live in that neighborhood. Now, this is 12 years old. I didn't go looking for that situation. I went to go play on the playground and have fun. And racism found me. So even playing on the playground, I can't forget that I'm black. And if I went on with all that I've experienced and put it in this podcast, it will be longer than anybody would care to listen to. But I just wanted to provide insight because why am I bringing this up? It's not for you to feel sorry for me. I don't want you to look at me as some victim You know, I don't need that. It's not for you to treat me any differently than anybody else. I'm actually fighting for the opposite. I want you to treat me just like everybody else, not less than, not a special case. Uh-oh, watch him. You know, treat me equally to everyone else. But for you to get insight to the Black experience, that is the goal. And how do you get that less there is a relationship of trust where I can say these things and you won't say, oh, here he goes. He's one of those. But you actually see, you know, I don't know a single Black person that wakes up wanting to protest. I don't know anybody that wakes up wanting to start a revolution or wanting to meet physical force with physical force. That is not, just for the record, that is not on our agenda. Like, we don't have goals growing up to do that. But through constant reminders in society of the systematic oppression, we have to. We can't afford not to. So we have to take strong, aggressive stands against our oppressors for the better future for our children. That's what, if you ask many people, they're doing it for their children. Now, you could say, why aren't you doing it for you? We are worth it. We are enough. But we also understand this next generation. And let me say, I am encouraged. I'm encouraged by the next generation, because technology is serving as much ignorance that it is that's out there, but it's serving as a connector. So a lot of these young kids are breaking the generational curse of racism in their family, the same bigoted and racist and hatred that their parents had received from their grandparents and that they try to pass down to their kids is being broken. And these kids are now, this next generation, are starting to think for themselves and make their own assessment based on the real facts of what's happening in society. So it's a beautiful thing taking place. But I would say that when I look at me, I would say that through all that I've been through, I feel like I've overcome it pretty well. You know, I'm still smiling. I'm still embracing people that look like me and don't look like me. I have a beautiful wife, 3 amazing kids. I'm a business owner and an expert in my field of practice. I have an extremely diverse group of friends that support me and strengthen me. I would say I'm winning, you know, but I'm still fighting. Because had it not been, I attribute this solely to the grace of God, I would have been one of the many slain carelessly without an opportunity to go before a judge and a jury of my peers. I know. You all that know me as Chris. Oh, he's great at marketing automation. He worked at Lead Pages, at Active Campaign. He did this, he did that. And he's so funny, so smart. This, you all know me. So if you see me, there's no threat. The problem is those that don't know me. I do. I need you to know that I become a threat to those who want to do harm to people that look like me. Right? So I know without a shadow of a doubt, my Black life matters. What we're fighting for is for the masses to catch up and act accordingly. So for me, it's bigger than automated marketing, right? It matters more. My life matters more than that. And if I've added any value to your life through personal engagement or virtual engagement, please show you value my life by joining the fight against systemic racism in this country, any form of hatred, bigotry towards minorities. So in the show notes, what I'm going to do is, and just let me say, I am by no means claiming that I am the exhaustive resource for all people to figure out how to deal with racism in this country effectively. I just created a library of resources that to help you all get informed, stay informed, and take informed action that will make a difference. So I'm going to list them. There's some documentaries that you can watch, some upcoming documentaries. I highly recommend you be on the lookout for a video that explains systematic racism, an implicit bias test that you could take, provided by Harvard. Harvard Business School. So there's a few resources in there, and then there's a document, just a master list of resources of Instagram, people you can follow on Instagram, social media, XYZ. So I'm going to put all of those resources in the show notes, and I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm remaining confident that this reckoning that we're experiencing now will wake up enough people to create the change that we need going forward. I do believe that you see it in this young generation coming up, and in my generation, you're seeing it. You know, I've got a few more people setting their ways in my generation, but the youth, they are making their own decisions. And again, the hatred is not easily being passed down. So I am encouraged with that. So I want to thank you all for listening. Seriously, I do. Thank you for listening and your continued support. The next episode, I'll discuss the single question to ask yourself to make your automation stronger immediately. It's a question I find that I ask myself all the time, and it helps you really customize that customer journey and experience. But until then, leverage the resources listed. Start having uncomfortable dialogue about race relations with people in your circle, including your family. A lot of times when you say people around you, people just bypass their family and go out and talk to friends. It's like, no, racist children are being raised by racist parents. It's learned behavior. So talk about it with your spouse. Talk about it with your children. Be intentional to expand your circle to include many people that don't look or think like you. I've met at least two people in my lifetime. One gentleman was 62 years old from Vermont that said he had never engaged with an African-American in person except once in the Navy. And then another white lady I met in Minnesota that said her daughter was about 8 or 9, that said she had never talked or seen a black person in real life. I'm just telling you the extreme experiences out here. I don't know one black person in America that could say that about white people. Right. So expand your circle to people that don't think or look like you, not just for your benefit, but for your children's benefit and exposure as well. We're in this together, everybody. We're better together, and together we will overcome. Just as the great Dr. Martin Luther King has stated, if I cannot do great things, I can do small things in a great way. Change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And lastly, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. I'll see you on the next episode.